Study. We are here logged on waiting for you.
All right. Well, we trust that each of you have had a fantastic day today as you have made your way through this beautiful day, and that you are yet giving God praise. For truly, this is indeed the day the Lord has made, and we're determined to rejoice and be glad in it. We're certainly grateful for you joining us tonight for this Monday Manna Bible study. Just let us know that you're getting a clear signal tonight, and that you are getting a good sound. Someone can let us know that as we are getting ready to get started. This is going to be an interesting study tonight as we look at chapters 12, and then we're going to try to do a little dive into chapter 13 tonight to get a sense of what God is saying as we go through this time together. So we'll go ahead and get started. Lady Kim, can you pull it up yet?
No,
why don't you clear your, okay. And we'll go ahead and get started with a word of prayer, and then we'll proceed and just talk a little bit about what happened yesterday, and then had a busy week last week, but praise God, we're still here. Somebody say amen. Somebody give God a thumbs up or give us a signal that you are indeed getting, you're coming through, and that you can hear us and that the sound is clear tonight. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we're eternally grateful for this day. We do thank you for our lives, and we thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. We thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. And God, we thank you for just keeping us throughout this day. We thank you for waking us up right early this morning. And God, here we are now at the 6 o'clock hour preparing to delve into your word. And we know that our faith is going to increase tonight because we are ready to get into what you have to say to us through your word. And so God, we ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Settle us now and center us that we might hear your voice, and that we might hear what you have to say to us and what you are trying to get done through us. So we love you and we honor you, and we thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Let us know you're getting a clear signal tonight as we prepare to go into this word tonight. Lady Kim is trying to see if you're communicating with us. Just put a comment there, Lady Kim, see if anything comes through on your end and your comment. But interesting week has passed, and so we are yet grateful for God sustaining us. How was your day today, Reverend?
Very, very busy.
Okay, all right. After spring break and after coming back from, we were in St. Louis at ministers' retreat, Black ministers' retreat with the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, and then a busy weekend with all kind of activity. And God is so faithful, I tell you. I just praise God for how he continues to bless even in spite of us, and how he continues to supply all of our needs as he said he would, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, our Lord. So let's just talk a little bit about, you want to share a little bit about the experience in St. Louis, and then maybe then we'll go into the worship experience this Pat on yesterday.
All right. Yes, we had a wonderful time in St. Louis at the Black Ministers Retreat for the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. Gained lots of helpful information and heard lots of good preaching.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to see some dear friends, and got to see Dr. Crystal, and it was good to see her, and a good friend, Dr. Tunstall, who's on tonight. It was good to see Dr. Tunstall. We rushed out of there and didn't get a chance to even say goodbye to Dr. Tunstall, but we thank God that he made it home to Los Angeles safely. And saw lots of other people that we've haven't seen in a long time. So it was a great experience. Some of our ministers were able to go with us. Minister Monique Jones, Minister Laretha Perkins, and Dr. Quali Seymour were able to experience the Black Minister's Retreat. Well, this was Dr. Kwalisa's second Black Minister's Retreat, but Minister Loretta and Minister Monique's first one. And so they thoroughly enjoyed themselves.
Okay, okay. So you're absolutely right. And I tell you, it's always good to have that kind of experience outside of what you are accustomed to on a regular basis. And then to get a chance to interact with other ministers from across the country. Mm-hmm. And so from all across the country, we gathered and had a great time, 2 days of just learning and understanding how we can be more effective in our ministries. And so it's a lot of excitement that happens when you know that you're going to gain some additional knowledge and then also share what you've already gained in your place of worship or in the place that God has allowed you to do ministry, mm-hmm. to not only just absorb everything, but also share. And then you'll get a chance to see, get a close look at how much you should appreciate what God is doing in your own setting, because you'll hear people talk about different things, and all ministries are not the same. It's not a comparison, nor is it a competition, but it's a way for us to be able to communicate and you know, just have an opportunity to hear others and to gain additional knowledge and to share the knowledge that we have ourselves. Mm-hmm. So after we got back, we celebrated with Dr. Geraldine Rush on Friday night as the Christ Church, what is it? House of Christ. I want to call it Christ Church, but House of Christ, in their 10th anniversary celebration. And so it didn't seem like it's been 10 years since they got started. And doing a great job right there in South Haven. Great location, great facility. And so we continue to praise God for how he's blessing the Christ Church there in South Haven.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Amen. Okay. So that leads us right into Sunday's worship experience. And I tell you, y'all had a women's conference as well on Saturday. So it was just a full weekend as we were gathering and getting ready for what was going to happen on yesterday. Anything about the women's retreat that y'all experienced?
Well, you know, twice a year, the Tennessee Disciple women have a spiritual journey.
Okay.
And so that's what we had this past Saturday,
mm-hmm.
Held at New Direction Christian Church, and it was phenomenal. It was a sold out event. Not that it, you know, we sell tickets for it, but you know, the event price takes care of the meal and all of the materials and things like that. It's a very nominal fee. But our own Dr. Deborah Reed was the resource leader, and she did a great job.
That's great.
On Saturday. And we had our young people involved. Our youth ushers were there, as well as some of our senior ushers.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just thank the parents of the youth ushers for allowing them to come. They had some other young people there, some praise dancers, a young lady who sang, and she sang so beautifully, and the praise dancers did an awesome job.
I'm sorry, excuse me.
So
I was trying to kick you on the table, but my elbow went in motion instead of my foot.
Oh, okay. Lord have mercy. That's a first.
Yeah.
But it was a great time in the Lord, and so I lost my train of thought. But we had an awesome time at the spiritual journey, and our young people were just outstanding. And so we thank God for them also.
Okay. All right. So a full packed weekend, and then a week on last week. Many were on spring break, and many were out going to the beach or whatever, and just relaxing, taking care of some business personally. But we had a full week, and then what happened on yesterday? We found out a little bit about how people perceive the Monday Bible study. And we got a couple of comments as we were sharing and reflecting on that. But just tell us what the Lord was saying to you yesterday, Lady Kim, as it relates to the worship experience.
Well, you preached from the book of 1 Kings, the 17th chapter in verses 7 through 16. Mm-hmm. And the sermon title was Just Enough.
Just Enough.
You know, and so sometimes when you have just enough, you think you don't have enough, but God can work miracles with just enough.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so just when you think you don't have enough, God says you do have enough.
That's right.
You know, so the place of just enough is, you know, do I go with what I need or do I go with what I want?
Okay.
When you're in that place of just enough. And a lot of people go with what they want and then beg for what they need.
That's right. That's
so
right.
I think that's a dilemma with many people. And then your second point was, what seems like not enough is just enough for God to turn your situation around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think where that all lies is our trust in God.
Okay.
You know, where's our faith, you know? When we have just enough or when we think we don't have enough, God can take our little and make much of it.
That's right. That's
and
good.
So the when you're about to give up, we need to hold on. It's not over until God says
not
it's
over until God says it's over.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that whole scene with the widow and the prophet set the tone for those, you know, a few points that you shared, because the Bible describes her as a widow, mm-hmm. you know, with just enough
mm-hmm.
For her and her son. And she was trying to take care of that and make her last meal so
mm-hmm.
that her and her son could eat it and die.
Mm-hmm.
But the prophet gave her a ridiculous challenge, if you will, to stretch her faith. Been many times when people get to that point, Lady Kim, they decide to go with what they know rather than stepping out and stretching in their faith. And I think in this particular instance, this woman demonstrated for us how even when you're down to your last, it's still a hope on the line, and you can't not expect God to do something even in the ninth hour.
Mm-hmm.
She heard about God. She knew about the God of Elijah, but she was a Gentile. And so even for her to cross that line and to cross into that territory to trust Elijah's God and what Elijah had spoken into her spirit was an amazing demonstration of faith, in my opinion. And then, as I talked about the audacity of the preacher, she said, I don't have enough, but mm-hmm. just for a little biscuit.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, can you get me some water? Can you go fix me something before you eat? And the amazing thing about it is she had just enough. And as a result of her faith and her ability to trust God, even in her dilemma, the Bible says she didn't run out of food, nor did she run out of oil,
right.
And that she had enough, because when just enough runs into the power and the presence
Hallelujah.
Of God,
that's it,
you're
right
going to have more than enough,
yes.
in order to sustain whatever it is you're trying to accomplish.
Absolutely.
And so that's a word for all of us. And I think the example of this widow really stretches far beyond what she experienced, but it was a story that still lives today,
mm-hmm.
because many of us have found ourselves operating at the level of just enough,
right.
and not knowing what was going to happen. But when you step out on faith, God will step in every time. Somebody say hallelujah,
hallelujah
tonight.
Hallelujah.
And so that was the word for yesterday. Any other comments that you want to share?
That God's word often leads us to a time of testing.
Okay.
And I think was a major point that sometimes when we are at our wits' end,
mm-hmm.
you know, if we search the word of God, then it'll often lead us to a time where we feel like we're tested, being tested.
That's right.
But our test should turn into a testimony.
Absolutely.
Because God will never put more on us than we can bear. And so if we just step out on faith, you know, and trust God, then everything will be all right. And, you know, you also said that a lot of times, you know, when we have not enough or just enough, we always look for people that we think
that's right.
can provide
that's
what
right.
we need.
That's
people
right.
who have seem to have much more
right.
than we do. But we don't know what people's situation
that's
is.
Right.
And I've lived long enough to know now that it's the person that you least expect.
That's right. That's
the person that you don't think has very much that comes through for
every
you.
Time.
Every time. It's not the people that have the people that you think
have
it all
That's
together
right.
and
right.
that you think would come to your aid. It's the person that you least expect.
That's good, because many times, as you said, when we are at our wit's end, we look around and we see what we think other people have.
Mm-hmm.
And we oftentimes want to go to those who look like they have it going on. But God can take a widow woman with a little meal or a little flour and a little water and turn your situation around by
Amen.
You trusting. Because God directed the prophet to go there, and obedience is what brings the reward. That's what we're getting at. And so a faith that's not tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. Many times people don't want to go through anything. They don't want to be tried. They don't want to be tested. But it's the trying of our faith, James says, that worketh patience. And he says, let patience have a perfect work that we might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And so you've got to trust God. If you're standing on the promises of God, then if God saw you to where you are, he's going to see you through what you're going through.
Amen.
And so we just got to trust him. And so even though you may appear to be in a situation where it's not that much, know that God is able to use that little that you have and do some extraordinary things in your situation. Step out on faith, and God will step in every time.
Amen.
So that's a word for somebody tonight, Lady Kim. I know we're getting ready to get into our study, but that's a word for somebody, because we don't know what people are in their faith walk or what they're going through. And oftentimes we look at the outward appearance of people and think that based upon their dress or based upon their drive or based upon where they might live, that everything is well. But as I was trying to point out, even on yesterday in Women's History Month, you know, we applaud and we appreciate all of the efforts of women and mothers who have stood the test of time. But if the truth be told, all of us, many of us at a place in our lives where what we're going through does not show up on the outside.
Amen.
But it's an inside situation that we have to reckon with and have to understand that if we release that to God, if we would cast our cares, the Bible says he will never leave us nor forsake us. He said, I'll be with you always, even until the end. And you know that God can do exceedingly and abundantly above any and everything that we can ever ask or think.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to trust God even when we can't trace him.
Amen.
Well, it's good to see all of you on the call tonight, and we're certainly grateful for this time together. We're going to be looking at Leviticus, the 12th chapter. There's only 8 verses there. Is that right, Lady Kim?
That's correct.
And so it just kind of bleeds over, if you will, from what we were talking about in the 11th chapter. And then we'll see how this pushes us even into the 13th chapter. And so that's Leviticus, the 12th chapter tonight. And we're going to look at a little bit of the 13th chapter. Because one of the things that we found out, and I think you're getting ready to share that with us, is that God is establishing and setting up protocol, and he's also getting Moses is instructing Aaron and his sons about the details as it relates to what's clean and what's unclean as it relates to food and purification, even of women in childbirth. And that's part of what we'll see tonight. But while, you know, even today, Lady Kim, we kind of look for some of the, when we have ailments or when we have medical conditions, we go and look for directions from those who have been trained to give us advice in terms of what we need. But during this particular culture, some of the things that we are accustomed to, what we become used to in terms of our visits and going to see the doctor, those things were not in place then. And God entrusted the priest to do a lot of things that many times if we've had to do them now, we wouldn't go to the pastor, we'll go to the doctor for that kind of release that we need. And so I think what this text is teaching us is that we have to, as I indicated on last week, he's trying to teach character in this particular chapter, and it doesn't just stand out and just blink, but you'll see that God is trying to get the children of Israel and us to take seriously this whole thing about character, because far too often we want to go ahead of not recognizing character, and we look at other things that we think are more important. But it all boils down to our character, and I think he wants us to be about putting being first before doing, because many times we want to do and then be, mm-hmm. but it's about being before doing. And by that I mean God wants us to get ourselves together first before we can really work on anything else.
And I think our character speaks a lot. Well, I don't think. I know our character speaks a lot for who we really are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we have morals and we have character, we want to do the right thing.
That's right.
But when your character is flawed, mm-hmm. you know, you'll do anything.
You'll do anything.
You say anything.
That's right.
You know, disregard that which is right in the sight of God when you have flawed character.
Mm-hmm.
And so even during this election year,
right.
you know, a lot of people are talking about the candidates, and we have to look at character.
That's right.
It comes all boils down to character. And so we're going to talk about a little bit about how that relates.
Yes, okay. Yes. I have a couple more things. Do you have any background information you want to share with us before we start reading these scriptures?
Well, I can tell you how the chapter 12 is broken down.
Okay, all right.
There are only 8 verses.
Right, right.
And it's talking about something. You know, this book of Leviticus is kind of strange. People don't usually touch Leviticus or do Bible studies on Leviticus.
That's right.
Because it's about a lot of laws and things that God gave to Moses to give to the children of Israel for them to obey, and how they were to have their sins forgiven, and the way to sacrifice, and what to sacrifice,
the offerings
and the jobs of the priests, and what the priests need to do, and how they should behave, and so forth and so on. But I think it's important that we look at or study the book of Leviticus so we can get a better, a well-rounded understanding of the role that Jesus played.
Okay, okay. That's good.
So, but for chapter number 12, it only has 8 verses. I believe it's the shortest chapter in the book of Leviticus. But it talks about the days of purification for a woman who bore a son. And that's in the first 4 verses,
uh-huh.
talking about purification for the woman who bore a son. Then it talks about the days of purification for a woman who bore a daughter. So that's just in the 5th verse. So there are only two genders, male and female. So it ended right there. You know, the purification of a woman who bore a son, the purification of a woman who bore a daughter. And then verses 6 through 8 talks about the sacrifices following the days of that purification.
So there was another sacrifice that was
another sacrifice, an offering
that you had to present.
That's right. And then it talked about, you know, if the woman couldn't afford a certain type of offering, what she could offer in replacement of that offering.
Okay. All right. Well, I think most of it is self-explanatory, but if you want to go ahead and read those eight verses, then we can start there. We're in Leviticus, the 12th chapter, and there are only eight verses there.
All right. I have to find it first.
Okay.
Leviticus 12. The Lord spake to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel, saying, if a woman conceives and bears a male child, she is to be ceremonially unclean 7 days. As at the time of her menstruation, she shall be unclean. On the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. Her time of blood purification shall be 33 days, and she shall not touch any holy thing or come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification are completed. If she bears a female child, she should be unclean 2 weeks, as in her menstruation. Her time of blood purification shall be 66 days. When the days of her purification are completed, whether for a son or a daughter, she shall bring to the priest at the entrance of the tent of meeting a lamb in its first year for a burnt offering, and a pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. He shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement on her behalf. Then she shall be clean from her flow of blood. This is the law for her who bears a child, male or female. If she cannot afford a sheep, she shall take 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. And the priest shall make atonement on her behalf, and she shall be clean.
Okay. So this is a ritual after childbirth, right?
Yes.
And God is establishing order, and he's setting the law in terms of what should happen after childbirth.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. And so, you know, it talked about, you know, if the woman bore a male child, then she was considered unclean for 7 days. But then it turned around, if she bore a female child, she was considered unclean for 14 days. And so I was wondering why the double standard there. Yes. And we also know that in those times, on the 8th day, the male child was circumcised.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but when she had a male child, she was then to complete 33 more days of purifying before she was allowed to touch anything holy or come into the tabernacle.
Was that the male or the female?
That was the male.
Okay.
Now, with the female, she had to complete 66 days of purification. So, again, it's double. So, it's 14 days first, and then there's another 66 on top of that.
Okay.
So, yes, quite a rigorous time of separation and purification.
Right. And I was... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I don't want you to lose your thought. Go ahead.
And I was going to say then at the end, she had to, at the end of the purification, then she had to bring an offering.
That's right.
She had to bring a sin offering, and she had to bring a burnt offering and a sin offering. So it was pretty intense.
Pretty rigorous.
Yes.
And even if it was, she was not able to afford what was asked of her, mm-hmm. then it was even further extended to her additional things that she could do in order to make up for that.
Right. She was to bring a lamb, a year-old lamb to the tabernacle for the burnt offering, and a pigeon or a turtle dove for the sin offering. And if she could not afford that, if she came from a poor family, right. she was allowed to bring two turtle doves or two pigeons.
Okay.
That was a bird in place of the lamb.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you know, we can always allow our sanctified imagination to take place in situations like these in terms of the double standard that you were making reference to. But I was intrigued by the numbers that 7, 66, and then 33. And now, y'all don't go play these numbers now. This is not, I'm not trying to get you to come up with the numbers for the Powerball. But, you know, 6 days, 7 days, 66, and 33, mm-hmm. and 13. Mm-hmm. Let me write those down. No, I'm just joking. Wow. But I think all of them have significant meaning. But one of the things I was thinking about, Lady Kim, as you were reading, we're in the 12th chapter of Leviticus. One of the things I was thinking about is that I don't know all of the medical, what happens with a female after giving birth. I mean, I have no idea other than observing, but I don't know if it's a distinct difference between having a male and a female. All of it's still the same process.
Same process.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. With the exception of circumcision.
Somebody said a lot of them on there.
With the
circumcision.
Yes, with the mm-hmm. exception of circumcision, we know that only a male, that only happens to the male. But,
okay, so this probably has some significance in terms of understanding why God would want that to happen in the way it did. But it leaves room for a lot of speculation and nothing really concrete in terms of a spiritual application.
Right.
Is that right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. But one application we can make from this whole chapter that's relevant to the surroundings of Jesus' birth is that in Luke 2:22-24 appears to suggest that after giving birth to Jesus, Mary went to Jerusalem to offer two birds as a sacrifice for her purification.
Okay.
And we know that Jesus didn't come from a wealthy family. Isn't it amazing that God came to earth and chose a place among the poorest of poor? And we knew he came from a poor family because he was born to a carpenter. You know, not natural father, but you know, his father mm-hmm. Was a Joseph was a carpenter.
That's right.
You know, we know he was Mary's natural child, but Joseph's, I guess we can say, child by spirit. But anyway, he came to the earth and he chose to be in a place amongst the poor. And so, you know, we can think about it in this way, too, that God owns a cattle on a thousand hills, yet he so emptied himself that his parents were compelled to bring the poorest offering that the law allowed. And, you know, there's a quote by F.B. Meyers, and I'm going to read that quote. It says, "What a glimpse into our master's humiliation. He owned the cattle on a thousand hills, yet he so emptied himself that his parents were compelled to bring the poorest offering the law allowed. He stooped that we might rise, emptied himself that we might be full, and became poor that we might be rich."
That's right. That's right. And I think that's back to what we were talking about earlier when we appear to be at our wit's end. Oftentimes we look to those who appear to be, you know, rich or have substance to supply our need. God many times looks to the low and not to the high in order to achieve what he's trying to get done. And so even though you might not be of what many might consider royal pedigree or born into wealth and silver spoon and all of that, that does not negate God using you, because the Bible is, you'll see the consistency of how he goes to the low and not to the high, mm-hmm. in order to accomplish what he's trying to get done in the earth realm.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Well, that's those eight verses of the 12th chapter. And we're going to just move into 13. I think there are probably about, 40-something verses in that 13th chapter?
Yes, and I didn't bring my...
You didn't bring your information down with you? Here you go. You can have that.
Okay, thank you.
Since you're leading, I want you to make sure that you...
I'm following.
You got what you need.
Where you lead me, I will follow. I'm following.
Somebody write that down so we can make sure we come back to that and leave that in the quiver for when we need it. All right. She said she's following the pastor, and wherever I lead her, that's where she's going to go. That's what I heard.
As long as he leads me in the right direction.
That's not what you said now. And I wouldn't have, why would I not want to lead you in the right direction?
Well, I've never questioned that before, so I don't think I have to question that.
All right, now you know what Reverend Thompson told you. You know, this is Bible study. this is going to be interesting, because one of the things here in this 13th chapter, we're in the 13th chapter of Leviticus. If y'all have questions, just let us know, or any comments, go ahead and put those in the box, because this is still a part of God establishing that character that we had mentioned earlier, and how important it is for us to make sure that we take it seriously and that we follow God's mandate and live according to what he's required of us to do, and making sure that we don't, when we get out there and get beside ourselves and think we can do it in and of ourselves, then many times we find ourselves being lost and not. We have to come back to God, because people can get so full of themselves, Lady Kim, to the point where they think that once they have gotten to a place of blessing, or once they have gotten to a place of, flowing in the things of God, they say, well, I really don't need God now. I can handle this myself. But that's a dangerous place to be, because, you know, if God, as I was telling the people down in South Haven, if he has begun a good work in us, he's well able to bring it to a flourishing finish. And so we ought not stray from God. We ought not be tempted by the wiles of the devil and thinking that there's going to be something better for us outside of what God is offering us. Mm-hmm. Every good and every perfect gift comes from above. That's what the Bible says. And so we have to stay with God. We have to stick with God. And sometimes during our tests, sometimes during our trial, we may feel depleted of our faith as well as our resources, and we just start trying to rely on things of the world or natural results rather than staying with the spiritual things that's necessary in order for us to get what God would have us to get.
Amen. And that all encompasses our faith walk.
That's right.
You know, we have to
and
grow.
And our maturity.
Right. We have to grow to that point.
Right.
Because our natural instinct is to lean on the world, is to lean on man. You know, but we have to reteach ourselves once we become Christians and we begin to trust God in all that we do, that when we trust God, that's when things work out best for us.
Right, right.
When we don't depend and lean and trust in the world.
That's right. Proverbs tells us to do what? Trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and lean not into our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge him. He's promised to direct our path. The Bible tells us also that the steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord. And so his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. So it's clear that the direction, the instruction, the mandate is set of what in obedience is what brings the reward. Many times we get caught up in thinking that we can do it in and of ourselves, but when we go off track, when we go outside of what God requires of us, then we find that we start sinking and collapsing. But it's obedience that brings the blessing. It's obedience that brings the reward. It's obedience and trusting God, even in the difficult times, that you'll be able to understand just how much he loves us and how much he cares for us. Mm-hmm. And I say oftentimes, God loves us too much to leave us where we are.
Yes.
And many times what he's trying to get done in us is to get us ready for the next level that he has in store.
Yes.
And so don't think it's strange, as the Bible says, concerning the trial that you are go through. But as though it hadn't happened to others, you know, the same thing, some of the same experiences, and you indicated it earlier, Lady Kim, is trying to develop that testimony in us so that we can let our light shine in order to guide and help other people along the way.
Amen.
Any comments, any questions there?
The Rankins are just saying hello. All
right.
Dr. Rush and Willie are with them.
Okay.
So that's awesome.
All right.
Yes.
Good that y'all got a way to get some relaxation down in Pensacola.
Yes.
How's the weather down on that end? I know it's beautiful. Lady Kim was talking about the beach last week.
Yes, I was.
And the weather should be perfect for the sun. Looks like it's getting ready to set here in a little bit. Should be perfect to go outside. I know Willie is trying to get to the golf course and do his thing. But we're going to move into Leviticus, the 13th chapter. And Lady Kim, this is an interesting chapter. We can maybe do maybe about 15 verses or so. But I think it's a lot of repetition here. Because one of the things that really kind of caught my eye and my attention is how I tried to make it bring clarity to it earlier, how God used the priests, where in our time, day and time, it would have been going to a doctor.
Okay.
And so it says a lot about the completeness of God. Mm-hmm. And I'm not negating people getting training, you know, but I think God has a way of using what he has available and doing what's need to be done. In order to get what he needs done in a person or in terms of what he's trying to accomplish in the earth realm. And so this whole thing about leprosy, we preached many sermons on that and talked about it in a lot of instances. And it's all throughout the Bible, Old and New Testament. But God is kind of setting a precedence here in terms of showing yourself to the priest. You remember all those lepers back in the New Testament?
Absolutely.
And how the 10 and only one came
one
back.
One came back to say thank you, to give thanks to
right.
God.
Right, but the overarching process was to go show yourself to the priest, you know. And so we'll see how important that was, how that was established back here in Leviticus in terms of the importance and the significance of the priests and their role in terms of discerning, you know, the level of leprosy that a person had.
Mm-hmm.
So, and showing yourself to the priest, he had to do an examination.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he's doing here in the text.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just look at maybe a few of those verses as our time is getting away from us. Because I think we were just to cover the 12th chapter tonight. Is that
yes.
right? Mm-hmm. All right. You mind reading maybe 10 to 15 verses of that?
Okay.
13th chapter, and then we can come back and talk about it.
All right. We're in Leviticus, the 13th chapter. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when a person has on the skin of his body a swelling or an eruption or a spot, and it turns into a leprous disease on the skin of his body, he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of his sons the priest. The priest shall examine the disease on the skin of his body. And if the hair in the diseased area has turned white and the disease appeared to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a leprous disease. After the priest has examined him, he shall pronounce himself ceremonially unclean. But if the spot is white on the skin of his body and appears no deeper than the skin, and the hair in it has not turned white, the priest shall confine the diseased person for 7 days. The priest shall examine him on the 7th day. And if he sees that the disease is checked and the disease has not spread in the skin, then the priest shall confine him 7 days more. The priest shall examine him again on the 7th day. And if the disease has abated and the disease has not spread in the skin, the priest shall announce him clean. It is only an eruption, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. Verse number 7. But if the eruption spreads in the skin after he has shown himself to the priest for his cleansing, he shall appear again before the priest. The priest shall make an examination of the eruption, and if the eruption has spread in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous disease. Verse 9, when the person contracts a leprous disease, he shall be brought to the priest. The priest shall make an examination. And if there is a white swelling in the skin and it has turned the hair white, and there is quick raw flesh in the swelling, it is a chronic leprous disease in the skin of his body. The priest shall pronounce him unclean. He shall not confine him, for he is unclean. But if the disease breaks out in the skin so that it covers all the skin of the diseased person from head to foot, so far as the priest can see, then the priest shall make an examination, and if the disease has covered his body, he shall pronounce him clean of his disease, since he has all turned white, he is clean. But if raw flesh ever appears on him, he shall be unclean. The priest shall examine the raw flesh and pronounce him unclean. Raw flesh is unclean, for it is a leprous disease. That was through 15.
All right. So it's probably really no great place to break right there, because it continues to go in that same fashion as you go through those verses. But as I was saying, you know, the priest had a major role in terms of being skilled at this point to understand what he was looking for. And God had set the precedence, is that right? Precedence, yes. In place for him to be able to discern what to look for. And it doesn't say that he had he was not a medically trained, mm-hmm. But he had to do some observation and examination, mm-hmm. and he made a determination. That rhymes, observation and
determination
for an examination for the acceleration of what's going to happen with that person.
Yes. And you know, believe it or not, leprosy is still a disease today.
That's right.
But with modern technology and medication, the disease can be it can be curable.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so back then there was no cure for leprosy.
Right.
And the worse it got, you know, and we're going to talk about it in this chapter, that they had to live outside the camp. They couldn't live amongst the common people. And so, but leprosy is still a disease today, but it's called Hansen's disease.
Mm-hmm.
And they can give medicine for it to cure it.
Okay. And so, as you said, even over in the New Testament, we found that they were separated from society, and they were placed into their own camp in terms of those who had been examined, because they had to go back and show themselves to the priest.
Right.
And the priest made a lot of the determination during that time about how people would move and whether or not they were clean.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Well, why don't we wrap it up here tonight, Lady Kim, and then we can pick this back up. We read through the 13th chapter of Leviticus, the first 15 verses, and we'll see that this is really talking about what shall be determined clean and unclean. And we've already discussed in the 12th chapter about what happens after childbirth and how the woman should present herself, whether it was a male or a female. And now he's going into various diseases, and leprosy obviously was one of the key diseases back during in that culture.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you have any prayer requests, then go ahead and put those in the box now. We're getting ready to wrap it up for tonight, and we'll pick back up on next week in the 13th chapter, and we'll start around verse number 15. There are about 50. Well, how many verses are there in this 13th chapter? Yeah, about
59.
Yeah, and so we'll pick it back up. But you're going to see a lot of repetition here in terms of the stages and the levels of leprosy and what happens as they move through that whole process of being healed.
Amen.
Okay. No prayer requests?
Yes, we do have a prayer request that came in during Bible study. Minister Sherry Frazier just texted and said, Brother Jerry Frazier lost his sister today, Cassandra Davis, in Phoenix, Arizona. Wow. So we want to lift up Brother Jerry Frazier and Sister Sherry Frazier in a mighty way in the loss of his sister.
Okay. Any other requests that we need to be aware of in terms of those who are still kind of recovering and rehabbing? We are certainly grateful for how God is yet continuing to bless and to continue to heal and give people opportunities to rehab. And Anthony Hanley has moved to a rehab facility. I think he's on the call tonight in Birmingham. And I tell you, we get praying with you. After he had his surgery, we had opportunity to be in Birmingham that day and pray with him, pray for him. And I know, Anthony, you know that a lot of prayers are going up on your behalf, as well as for your mother, for her strength. And so we're hoping and praying and believing God in this rehab that you're going to get everything that you need. And we're waiting on you to come to Memphis now once
Amen.
You get in on the circuit. Now, don't put too many people in front of us, because the alphabet begins with A. I'll just leave it at that.
Atop, Anointed Temple.
That's
of
right. That's right.
A, all right. And you're going to walk down the aisle.
That's
and
right.
Give your testimony.
That's right. That's right.
On how good God is.
Thank you,
Amen.
Lord.
Amen. So we give thanks and praise for Anthony Hanley, and his rehabilitation is now beginning. It's been a long road, but guess what? Look how far God has brought you.
Look at God.
And we expect God to bring you all the way out.
That's right. That's right.
But you got to put in some work.
That's
you know,
right.
Whenever there's a blessing mentioned in the Bible, it's always preceded by something that
That's
we
right.
have to do.
That's right.
So God just doesn't just plop things down. He sets forth a standard.
That's right.
That we have to rise to. So it's time for you to rise up to that standard and give God the glory for all that he's done.
Hallelujah.
So we just thank God for that. We will most certainly be praying for Brother Jerry Frazier and Minister Sherry Frazier.
Absolutely.
We're going to continue to lift up Mother Roxy Briggs as she's recovering, Mother Elizabeth Hughes, and we want to thank Minister Shotwell for her visit on yesterday with mm-hmm. Mother Hughes. And Mother Hughes is looking good and asked about her pastor and first lady. So we just thank God. And for Dr. Butler going to Great Oaks Rehabilitation Center to see Sister Elnora Buchanan. We just thank God for that, and as she recovers as well. And we thank God that Brother Charles Reynolds is getting stronger every day. So we give thanks and praise for Brother Charles Reynolds and his recovery.
All right. Well, you know, believe it or not, Lady Kim, this coming Sunday is going to be Palm Sunday. Can you believe that?
Yes.
I tell you, this
Easter
month
is flying here, isn't it?
Right. And then after that, we go into Holy Week and getting ready for Good Friday service and Resurrection Sunday.
Amen.
It's going to be an array of things that's going to be happening that weekend, and we'll share more with you as relates to that, and we're hoping that the weather will hold up so that we can have a fantastic time outside with the Easter egg hunt and all the other activities, carrying cross. And then I'm looking forward to Good Friday, and I'm on tiptoe with anticipation in terms of what God is going to do during that service and as we prepare to celebrate Resurrection Sunday.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. All right. Well, those were the
announcements and the prayers.
Yes.
Okay. Well, go ahead and close us out, Lady Kim, if you don't mind, with a word of prayer.
Let us pray. Gracious God in heaven, we bless you and we honor you. We give you praise, honor, and glory for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. We thank you, O God, for the testimonies, O God, of healing and restoration. And we pray for those who are bereaved today, God. We pray and lift up the family of Brother Jerry Frazier and Minister Sherry as he grieves the loss of his sister. We ask in the name of Jesus that you would just touch their hearts, O God, and lift the brokenness that they may be feeling right now, God. And God, we thank you for the peace, your peace that surpasses all understanding. We ask a special blessing, God, on all those who are still sick and shut in, that you continue, oh God, to do a work in them. And we ask, God, that in the coming days, weeks, and months ahead, that you will continue to strengthen us in our walk with you, oh God. And we ask, God, that as we go forth in your name, that you would watch over and keep us until we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, and praise God. All right. Well, thank y'all for being on tonight. Hope you enjoy the rest of your evening and be blessed until we meet again.
Good night, everybody.